Hey, welcome into another episode of Out of Bounds with your host, Todd Fox, and the narrator,
Carlos.
Yes, sir. Carlos will be calling this one today on a very special player dear to him as we get into a realm of crime in sports. It's either things that have happened to athletes or things that they've done post or even during their career. So we will get to the negativity of sports. And so with that being said, you can find us on all of our podcast forums, Spotify, Anchor. It, go down the list. You can find it under crime, under Out of Bounds, and true crime, probably the genre. So with that being said, Carlos, take it away.
All right. Well, this one is a long overdue, and we were supposed to do this one a few days ago. But before we get started, I want to send some condolences out to Matt Miles, good friend, even though I've never met him. Todd, he's a close friend of yours. You guys do a lot of podcasts and grind shows together. His father just passed away. I just found out. And I'm sorry I haven't reached out to him. I'll do that right after we get done with this podcast. And Matt, man, I'm just like, man, dude, my dad's up there in age. And I don't know how much longer I'm going to have my dad and my mom, but man, you know, if anything, I know you got a strong heart and I'm going to rely on your guidance, man. You're a strong man. Hold your head up. You got a good woman by your side. You know, you're a great man. Don't get down, man. We need you. We need you. You're a great person. And like I said, man, my condolences to you. And, hopefully you can find peace, because he's at peace now, man. Your dad.
Yes, he is. No more pain and suffering.
I'm just sorry that had happened. A great man like Matt, 68 years old, I hear, and he died from maybe a heart attack or a blood clot.
Yeah, we don't know for sure yet, but it was just kind of quick. So,
yeah, man, I'm sorry, man. This episode, I'm gonna try and do a good episode. I'm gonna try and do a good narration on it, just because I know you would do a great job of doing this one, man. So let's get to it, Matt. This one's for you.
All right.
This one right here is, like you said, it's dear to my heart, because this guy actually played for my team and I actually watched him. And dude, he was an absolute monster. He can play in any era of football, especially in today's football. Like, the dude was a monster. Wait until I read his stats towards the end of this episode. This guy, when he was in his playing career, he was a great guy. Everybody loved him. The ladies loved him. The fellas wanted to be like him, and the ladies wanted to be with him. He was a good looking dude. He goes by the name of Darren Sharper. Darren Sharper. If you remember him, I remember him for torturing the Vikings and doing his little shoulder shrug dance every time he had an interception. And he was a damn good player, man. There's no hiding that.
Dude, when the Packers got him and McKenzie, that was secondary.
And they had Al Harris too, man. They had Al Harris, McKenzie as the corners, and then they had Sharper back there. So Al Harris and McKenzie were controlling the bottom part of the field, and then Sharper and his sidekick on the other side, whoever was on the other side, for Ball Hawks. That dude was a Ball Hawk, man. Like, just nasty. Darren Sharper is just without what happened, without this information that I'm about to read. Like, if you just think about his football career, he's, man, dude, every safety needs to play like him. Him and Ed Reed, or him and Sean Taylor, would be a perfect combo.
Mm-hmm.
But let's get right to it. Man, this pains me, because I actually got his jersey, man, and I still have it. But Darren Sharper was born November 3rd, 1975, so that makes him a Scorpio. Sharper has a brother and a sister, and their names are Jamie and Monica.
Oh, the I Sharpers know. Were, Jamie huh? was a linebacker for the Ravens, right? I remember Jamie.
Yeah, dude. No, now that you mentioned it, yeah, I remember that. I don't, like, when I was doing this, I was just like, okay, he's got a brother and a sister. And dude, I can't believe that I didn't remember that, man. I should have coughed this information up to you and seen if you knew anything about it. But that's interesting right there. He did have a brother that played in the NFL too at the same time that he played.
Yeah, Jamie Sharper, if I'm right, he won a Super Bowl the first time around with Ray Lewis. There, he was on that awesome defense they had.
Yeah, man, how could I forget about that, man? I don't know. Jamie Sharper, I mean, he wasn't great, but it was just interesting because he was a brother of Darren Sharper.
Yep.
So Sharper had a brother and sister named Jamie and Monica. Jamie obviously played in the NFL. Thanks for that, Todd. The Sharpers are originally from Henrico County, Virginia, where Sharper would go to Hermitage High School. Sharper was on a roll. This is what he did in his time in high school. Sharper was on a roll, along with never missing the school day in 3 of the 4 years at Hermitage. I'm butchering these names, man. Hermitage High School. So he had perfect attendance in 3 of the 4 years in his time in Hermitage.
All right. Sounds like a good kid so far.
Yeah. Sounds real good, man. But along with playing linebacker and quarterback for the football team, Darren Sharper also played basketball. So he was multi-athletic. So he was just a ball hawk. He was a linebacker. He was a quarterback. So his IQ in sports and the field and the court was there. That dude, he was tall too. So he could have probably played basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So Sharper, being smart and ahead of the curve, was part of the student council and learned multiple languages during his time in high school. So it's just there, man. Like, he's just brilliant. You know, he's just awesome. Awesome at his craft.
So he was probably going to go to college regardless of sports.
Yeah, if he got injured, he would have majored in something else. Like, he learned multiple languages. I should have done a little bit better research to see which languages he picked up. But, you know, for him to have multi languages, more than English, and I want to say maybe Spanish, but, you know, being in what did I say, Virginia?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in Virginia, like, why would, I don't know if it would be Spanish, maybe something like, what do you want to call it? British or something like that. He probably picked up that, but who knows?
Mm-hmm.
So he did. He was multi-athletic. He was he never missed a day of school. He had multi-languages. He was just the man, you know. He was just the man on the campus field.
Mm-hmm.
So then Sharper graduated in 1993.
Oh, geez.
So we're in the mid-90s. What do you remember about the mid-90s, Todd, 1993?
MTV still had music videos, Ninja Turtles, Super Nintendo. Sports wise, most of my team sucked, so I didn't have much to root for.
1990, that's what you remember. 1993, if you were to ask me, I don't know if you were or not, but I was born in 87. So how old was I? I was like 6 years old, 6 or 7 years old at the time. I was sitting there thinking, I remember when I was at 7 years old, I was sitting there thinking, I looked out the window of my house. I was like, man, I wonder what I'm going to be like when I'm 18 years old, man. But I shouldn't have looked at it like that, because life flies by, man. Now I'm over here 33 years old.
Well, see, that's what sucks, man, because back in the day, you're all, yes, you know, like I'm going to be this age or that age. You know, I can't wait to get to 18. As soon as you get to 18, 21 comes like that. And it's like, you should be just enjoying the time you have. Stop worrying about growing up, because when you grow up, you go back and you're like, damn, I wish it was 20 years ago.
Yeah, there's no way of going back either. It's just like, man, I wish I would. That's why we got kids now, so we can tell them to slow down.
Yep.
Before you know, we're going to be in our 50s and 60s, man.
Don't say that, dude.
There's no stopping it, dude. I'm gonna be in my mid-30s in September. 34 years old, man.
See, and you used to make fun of me too, man. When I hit 30, you're like, you're 30 years old, man.
I can still do that, but it doesn't feel as funny because I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I know, right? Bastard, now you're realizing it.
Yeah, it's not so funny after all. All right, so moving on, Darren Sharper graduated in 1993. You know, all the good stuff, multi-language, multi-athletic, just everything you can ask for in your kid. So if this is your kid, you're just 100% satisfied. You know he's going to make all the right decisions. He's probably going to get picked up by an NBA team or a football team, maybe even baseball, if he puts his mind to it. Obviously, when he goes with something, he goes all out for it. So kudos to Darren Sharper. Mm-hmm. So the year is 1993. He graduates high school. He goes into college, and Sharper attends the College of William and Mary, where he played for the William and Mary Tribe football team in high school. Sharper primarily played quarterback. So now we're backtracking a little bit, going back into high school. So he played quarterback primarily. He wanted to be a quarterback at William and Mary as well. So hold on. William and Mary is actually the college. Sorry about that.
College. I know that. It's like a division two or three, right?
Yeah. I'm a little thrown up because normally when they have names like that, it's normally a high school.
Mm-hmm.
So I apologize for messing up. See, I'm not
something like that.
Yeah, I'm not as good as Matt. Matt wouldn't have done that. Sorry about that, Matt. So let me backtrack a little bit. So Sharper primarily played quarterback. He wanted to play quarterback at William and Mary, the college as well. So he was quarterback high school mainly, and he wanted to play quarterback in college. And then the college coach, his name is Jimmy Laycock, hinted to him that he should alternate and play defensive back because he would have a better chance of getting drafted in the NFL if he played defensive back because of his size and his speed and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So during his college career, he earned All-American honors twice and was named first team All-Yankee Conference selection three times. Jeez. I'm not sure how big those awards are, but, you know, if for it to be in his resume along with all his other stats, I'm pretty sure that's pretty good because if it wasn't that important, they would have just kind of like blurred that out.
Mm-hmm.
So he earned the All-Yankee Conference selection three times. As a senior in 1996, he was a Yankee Conference Defensive Player of the Year after intercepting 10 passes for a season.
Damn.
He finished his career, his college career, with a school record 24 career interceptions and the IAA record of 468 career interception yards. Oh, man, that 468 yards in college as a safety, dude. That's amazing, right there. That's almost five. That's basically about 500 yards.
That's amazing.
And how many times is he get like actually on the field? I mean, he's on the field playing ball, like every snap on defense, but for him to put his hands on the ball, how many times? 24 interceptions and get 468 yards. That's, dude, imagine a wide receiver. That's like a slot wide receiver right there in one good football season right there. That's a hell of a career.
Pretty much. Yeah. I don't know what the average of reception that would be if he were a wide receiver. That's still good numbers.
Yeah. Big time, man. So he had 468 career interception return yards. He also set the school record with 1,027 career punt return yards. So if you put it all together, he had like 1,500 yards
mm-hmm.
in college, dude. Like, do you think this guy was going to get drafted, man? I think so. That dude, he's an absolute maniac on that football field. So now his time in college was over. So he balled out in college. He was a great student in high school, elementary, middle school, all that stuff. So now he's in the NFL. And if you know Darren Sharper, you know he started his career in Green Bay. He got drafted by the Green Bay Packers in the second round, 60th overall. It seems like that's where you find a lot of great players is in the second, third round. That's like the first round. There's too much pressure on these kids coming out of college, and a lot of them don't turn out because there's so much pressure and they get blinded by the money. Mm-hmm. So second and third rounders always have that chip on their shoulder. That's where all like the dimes are at. That's where all like the diamonds are at.
Mm-hmm. So
that's like Russell Wilson and hopefully the newly quarterback from Minnesota, Kellen Mond. You know, he was drafted number 66. I got to throw him out there because I'm excited about him.
A little bit, right?
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Profile picture on Facebook and everything.
I know.
Dude, I can't wait for Kirk Cousins to get benched or something, man. I can't wait, dude. I'm excited, dude. I got my fingers crossed. Just wait, hoping that Kirk Cousins isn't the day one starter for this season.
You watch, dude. He'll probably
ball don't out. Say it. But then we'll just end up trading him next year because he's got this year and next year. And if he balls out, dude, hopefully he does ball out and he's like in consideration for MVP, dude. We could throw him in a trade to a team that needs a quarterback, and hopefully somebody bites and gives us like a first rounder for him, and then we can just build around Kellen Mond. And if he doesn't work out, huh?
You can maybe try to get him to Oakland if they don't get Rodgers, because that's the other drama in the NFL right now. Where the hell's Rodgers gonna go?
Oh, yeah, that's crime right there in itself, man. Well, I'll tell you what, man, we should do an episode on quarterbacks that rob the franchises of money. That's some crime right there in itself. Sam Bradford and Kirk Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
We might have to do something like that. But let's get back to Darren Sharper. So let's go back to where he was drafted. Green Bay Packers. The Packers drafted Darren Sharper 60th overall in the 1997 NFL draft. Sharper was the fifth safety drafted in that 97 draft. And his brother, Jamie Sharper, was also selected second round, 34th overall. So you were on it already, man. Mm-hmm. So Darren Sharper went after Jamie Sharper, but Darren Sharper actually played better than Jamie Sharper. So that's interesting. We should look into Jamie Sharper's college and high school careers and see how his career in life played out. That's interesting right there.
If I remember right, I think Jamie went to a better college even. That's why I think he got drafted higher. And he was set to be more prolific than Darren, but Darren, yeah, like you said, Darren way outplayed him.
Dude, Darren Sharper right now, his resume right now versus, like, I would say outside of maybe Earl Thomas, he's probably got a better resume than most safeties in today's game. That's amazing. It's just crazy because today's a pass happy league, so there's more chances for interceptions and all that. But dude, I don't know, man. Darren Sharper is just, it sucks the way his career played out, or his life played out. I mean, but yeah, Jamie Sharper was drafted 34th overall in the same round, same year. So all that good stuff. So now on to Darren Sharper. During his career as an NFL safety, Darren right off the bat made splashy plays that would help the team out. Sharper was a ball hawking defensive back. He was gifted from the time he was born until his retirement from the NFL, but Sharper made his first career interception for his first touchdown. So the first time that he had an interception, the ball in his hands as a safety in the NFL, he did it in a loss against the Detroit Lions. 20-10 was the score in week 10 of the 1997 season. So Darren Sharper was like, he was getting started. And he made that pick six thanks to quarterback Scott Mitchell and returned it for 50 yards in the second quarter. You remember Scott Mitchell?
Scott Mitchell, Mr. World Football League. I saw him, and this will take some players back, speaking of 1993 and around that time. He was the quarterback, I think, in 94 for the Orlando Thunder, the World Football League. And that quarterback, he was probably the best in that league. And the Lions were like, oh, this guy's bad. You know? And then he went out there and they got him. And he was only winning games because of Barry Sanders. And they were like barely 9-7. And I remember the Dolphins, they were losing Marino, or Marino was getting hurt. And after he had like two mediocre years in Detroit, the Dolphins threw a bunch of money at Scott Mitchell, and he sucked even harder in Miami.
Hey, since we're on the topic of second quarterbacks that are getting paid a lot of money, Bradford, Mitchell, Kirk Cousins, you know, I guess we're on one right now.
Yeah, pretty much.
So after that interception for 50 yards against Scott Mitchell, Sharper would then break the Green Bay Packers franchise record for most defensive touchdowns by a rookie. Think about that. In 1997, that franchise has still been around for, like, I don't know, since the beginning of time. Whatever year they started, you know, Sharper broke a record his rookie year. And this stood for 64 years, actually, as a matter of fact. So that record was 64 years. And he also tied the franchise record for most defensive touchdowns that was set by Herb Adderley in 1964.
Yeah, that's one of the hard times.
Yeah, he was setting all kinds of records, and that record is still up, I think, Darren Sharper. So if you look him up, his records are still up, and then you can rewind time and see what other records he broke. So then Darren Sharper, he finished his rookie season in 1997 with 16 touchdowns, dude. He had 16 touchdowns.
Oh, his Packer career?
Yeah.
Damn.
Or no, he finished his rookie season in 97 with 16 touchdowns. I want to say, no, it had to be throughout his career.
Yeah.
But he had two interceptions, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery, and three defensive touchdowns in 14 games. That's what it was.
Jeez, that's pretty good.
And then, so that was in 14 games and zero starts. For some reason, he wasn't a starter.
I don't understand how he couldn't start that, dude.
Yeah, I don't even know who the safeties were for Green Bay in 1987. So Sharper was an absolute stud, a pure bona fide ball hawking safety like no other during his time. To this day, I'm going to keep repeating myself on that because, you know, Sharper's just amazing. So now we're in the year 1999. Sharper showed his hybrid safety linebacker skills by adding 113 tackles that year. So Sharper puts up 16 touchdowns as a free safety 1 year, and the very next year puts up 113 tackles. The guy was special. So now in 2000, in the year 2000, Darren Sharper notched his first Pro Bowl selection and the league with 19 pick or 9 interceptions. So he made his first Pro Bowl in the year 2000 and had 9 interceptions. So in 2001, Sharper signed this is after when his rookie contract was coming to an end. In 2001, Darren Sharper signed a 6-year, $30 million contract to stay in the green and gold. That sounds like a bargaining right now, man, doesn't it? That sounds pretty damn cheap.
It does.
6 years, $30 million. That almost sounds as bad as Scottie Pippen contract back way back in the day. So in 2002, Sharper had a career highlight, 89-yard pick six against the Miami Dolphins. Signal caller, the quarterback, Joe Blow, a.k.a. Ray Lucas, whoever the hell Ray Lucas is.
Oh, Ray Lucas, the quarterback from the Dolphins, too.
Dude, I'm hitting you with all these old-ass names, and you're picking them up like these no-namers. Like, that's how much you love football, though. We got to give you credit. It's crazy because I thought his name was Joe Blow, and since I have this information written down, it's been a while. I thought that's what his real name was, Joe Blow, Ray Lucas. Sharper again, making play after play, showed no signs of bust or underperformance in his DNA. Sharper would remain a Packer until the year 2005, where Green Bay wanted to either restructure his contract or release him. So they didn't want to pay him anymore. They wanted to get rid of him. That just seems to be the trend in football. Once you get like into your 30s and all that, the team doesn't want you no more.
Yeah, they were in an influx in that year. They were trying to keep Brett Favre. They were trying to, because Brett Favre was starting his diva time around that time. So he was trying to keep that big contract. They were trying to keep the team together. It was a mess.
Yeah, it sounds like it, man. And now it sounds like Aaron Rodgers is doing the same thing again.
Mm-hmm.
So the year was 2005, and Packers wanted to kind of get rid of him or restructure the contract. The two sides couldn't agree on a restructure, so Sharper was released after 9 seasons with the franchise. So now, March 12th, 2005, is the date, and Darren Sharper officially signs with none other than the greatest franchise in NFL history, the Minnesota Vikings. The deal was, get this, 4 years, 10.60 million dollar deal for 4 years. Absurd, dude. That's crazy, dude. I still can't believe that. 4 years, 10.6 million.
Jeez. That's not a lot.
He was playing for pennies on the dollar.
He was. He probably thought at the time, yeah, it's gonna last forever.
I think he was just doing it just to stick it to Green Bay, man. Honestly.
Probably.
So on November 13, 2005, Sharper recorded four combined tackles, deflected 5 passes, made a career high 3 interceptions, and returned an interception for a touchdown against the New York Giants. They won 24-21. Darren Sharper had 3 interceptions. He had an INT return week 10 of that year. Sharper intercepted a pass by Eli Manning and returned. It was 92 yards. That's what it was. So he returned 92-yard touchdown. I remember that play too. I jumped off my couch and I was sitting there pumping the air and everything like that. I was excited.
Eli was like, "No, I throw another interception."
Dude, we owned Eli Manning, dude. Minnesota has they always owned Eli. He always had bad games against Minnesota. He probably beat us like once or twice. So week 10, Darren Sharper intercepted that pass for 92 yards in the first quarter. So now on December 20th, 2005, it was announced that Sharper was selected to the 2006 Pro Bowl. He finished the first season with Minnesota with a total of 51 tackles. 41 of those were solo, 16 pass deflections, tied his career high of 9 interceptions, a forced fumble, and he scored 2 touchdowns in 14 games and 14 starts. So he was injured for like 2 of those games. So now we're fast forwarding to 2008. Darren Sharper, a milestone by getting to 50 interceptions. Dude, 50 interceptions in a career is astonishing. Dude, 50 interceptions.
That would have been Hall of Fame.
Dude, believe it or not, he was considered for the Hall of Fame still.
Yeah.
It blows my mind.
Figure if OJ and others are in there, then he could be too.
Yeah, that's true. So Sharper started in all 16 games for the third consecutive season and recorded 69 combined tackles. And 60 of those were by themselves. 5 pass deflections and an interception. He finished his 4-year career in Minnesota with 18 interceptions, 250 tackles, 359 interception yards, 3 touchdowns, and a sack. Wanting to stay in Minnesota, Sharper didn't get any offers to stay with them. So Sharper joined the Saints in 2009 for 1 season. It was like one prove it deal. 1 season with the New Orleans Saints where he would help them win a Super Bowl. You don't want to talk about that Super Bowl. Pisses me off every time I think about that. So moving on. I can't stand the Saints, man. So Sharper finished the season. It's a 2009 season with the Saints. This is how he finished his first season with the Saints. Sharper finished it with 71 combined tackles, 51 solo, 15 pass deflections, 9 interceptions, 3 touchdowns, and was credited with half a sack in 14 games and 14 starts. That just seems to be the thing with Darren Sharper, is 14 is his lucky number.
Yep.
Time of the year is 2011. Darren Sharper has workouts with the Denver Broncos, New England Patriots, and again, the Green Bay Packers. He obviously wants to go back home to the team that drafted him. But nothing worked out. There was no contract offer from any one of those teams. Sharper reportedly announced his retirement after a 14-year career. He finished with 63 career regular season interceptions, placing him sixth all-time. He took 11 of them back for touchdowns, which has him tied with Charles Woodson and only behind Rod Woodson with 12. Sharper's 13 career defensive touchdowns, 11 interception returns, 2 fumble returns. So that's how you get your 13. See, he had 11 INTs and 2 fumble returns in his career.
Oh, that's why. Okay.
Yeah, it's tied for first in the NFL history with Woodson and Woodson, with both Woodsons. So they're all up there, both Woodsons and Sharper. Charles and Rod Woodson, Hall of Fame talent. So that's how his career played out. And now, in case I missed any numbers, any stats, or anything like that, because I know there's a lot of football fans that are listening right now, his total tackles was almost 950. He finished his career with 942 tackles. He sacked the quarterback 7.5 times. He had 63 interceptions. He had 13 touchdowns. He had 101 pass defense. And his career highlights and awards, this is the good part. He was a Super Bowl champion with the Saints in 2009. He was a 5-time Pro Bowler. If you need another years, it's 2000, 2002, 2005, 2007, and 2009. He was a 2-time first-team All-Pro, 2000 and 2009. And he was a 4-time second-team All-Pro, 2002, 2005, 2007, and 2010. He's a 2-time NFL interceptions leader, 2000 and 2009. He was a part of the NFL's all-decade team in the year for the years of 2000.
Yeah, it's kind of hard not to remember that dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah, his records are going to be there no matter what. You know, they're just five-time Pro Bowler, 2-time, like all that stuff. It's some good stuff, man.
Oh, yeah.
So in August of 2012, after retiring, Sharper worked briefly for a company, WWL/TV, as an analyst before leaving to take a position with the NFL Network.
That's the former NFL star Darren Sharper pleading guilty to sexual assault charges after being accused of drugging and assaulting women in 4 states. Sharper agreeing to multiple plea deals 9 years behind bars. ABC's Ryan Smith is here with that story. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, Robin. Darren Sharper was one of the best players of the past decade in the NFL. Now he's in jail for numerous sexual assault charges. A real-life Jekyll and Hyde who at one point supported women's causes, but later went on to attack women all over the country.
Darren Sharper with a Super Bowl champ.
The things that I've done in the past has been able to help teams win.
Earning millions over 14 NFL seasons. And later, shining as an NFL TV analyst.
You don't want to have bad team chemistry.
But this morning, the gridiron great suffering a staggering fall from grace.
How do you plead to the charge?
After admitting he's been leading a double life as a serial rapist. Authorities say Sharper sexually assaulted or attempted to assault at least 9 women in 4 states over 5 months after rendering some of them unconscious by lacing their drinks with a generic form of Ambien.
The effects can be felt within a few minutes, especially when combined with alcohol.
The attacks starting in New Orleans, then California, Arizona, and finally Nevada. Sharper was returning from that trip when his horrifying spree finally comes to an end. Police arresting him at the Los Angeles airport after one of his alleged victims reported him to police. Other victims followed, including a New Orleans Saints cheerleader and 2 women who, according to the arrest report, met Sharper at a Las Vegas nightclub before he invited them to his hotel room to make them shots. Hours later, both women woke up, unable to remember details after those drinks. One later recalling that she and Sharper did have intercourse. the other telling police it felt like she had sex but couldn't remember. Their hair samples later tested positive for that generic form of Ambien. Sharper's monstrous attacks, even more shocking considering his support of women's causes like this event for breast cancer awareness. And it turns out the five-time Pro Bowler may have had partners in crime. A federal indictment alleges that he conspired with a former deputy sheriff to drug and rape women, and in New Orleans, he has a co-defendant accused of sexually assaulting some of the same women. Both men have pleaded not guilty, while Sharper, once said to be destined for the NFL Hall of Fame, is now headed to prison instead. He's agreed to plea deals in three states so far, and prosecutors say he'll serve his time in federal prison, Robin.
But that time, many are questioning 9 years?
They're saying it's shockingly low. In New Orleans alone, he was facing life in prison. But there's a couple of things here. First, judges have to approve these deals, and you're talking about multiple states. Secondly, there are co-defendants in this case. So the implication by some speculating, saying that maybe he's flipping on other people, and maybe that's part of all of this. But the other part of this is prosecutors always say, hey, better not to take my chances at trial, risk an acquittal, and get a plea deal now. But it is shockingly low for so many looking at this.
So there may be more to the story.
There may be more.
All right, Ryan, thank you.
Sure.
So that's kind of crazy how all of that plays out, man. You heard the audio right there. And now the last wording on Darren Sharper that I got is, February 28, 2014, Darren Sharper was officially fired from the NFL Network in connection with his arrest for aggravated rape.
Jeez, what a scumbag, dude. Had a great, brilliant career and then turned into that, man.
Yeah, he was, like I said, man, if you like, I know it's hard for people to ignore what he did off the field and all that rape stuff. And all. It's crazy because the dude, like I said, man, ladies wanted him, and dudes wanted to be like him. He was tall, he was gifted, he was crafty, he multi-language, all that good stuff, man. And for him to do that, and he even had a job to die for. He worked for NFL Network, and all he had to do was give his 2 cents on like teams, players, plays, like, and everybody would follow his lead because of the type of career and life that he had. You know, the guy was smart.
Yeah, that's the thing I'm trying to figure out too. It's like, and just to follow on what you're saying, he's a good looking guy. He's on TV. He knows his sports. He's played the NFL. He's a ladies' man. Why would he have to resort to that kind of behavior? I just don't get it.
Sometimes people get full of themselves and the power, man. I think he was a part of, remember when, as a matter of fact, now I think about it, remember when the story broke out of NFL Network having like a makeup artist complaining about like the retired Hall of Famers were like groping on her and all that, like Warren Sapp and Marshall Faulk and along with Darren Sharper. So they were all in on it, man. It was some dark times at NFL Network in that time from 2012 to 2014, man.
That's true.
So Marshall Faulk, man, like I haven't heard from Marshall Faulk or Warren Sapp. Like they've been now like out of the spotlight for a while now.
I don't know about Marshall Faulk, but I do know Warren Sapp. He spent all his money, dude. And he had a bunch of endorsements, bunch of NFL money, bunch of NFL Network money. He's piss broke right now.
Isn't he? So he's sitting in like a position where I'm at right now. Then he's having to work a 9-to-5.
I think so. And then he's trying to recoup by doing internet shows. I think he's trying to work for Barstool Sports or something like that, do a podcast. He's just trying to get money any way he can because he's got baby mama drama, legal issues to pay for. He's just effed his life over. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer and all that stuff. And it's just like, dude, what did you do, man? I mean, he could have been set up without having to work forever and he just screwed it up.
That's another one right there that gets me right there. Warren Sapp, that dude. One of the best defensive tackles or defensive ends, wherever you put him, he was up there with like the lights of Reggie White.
Yep.
So that's just, you know, it just blows my mind. So anybody out there that thinks they got it hard, but their bills are caught up, just think about it like this. These guys get paid millions of dollars. They're world-class athletes. They're on the TV cameras and all that. They're in everybody's living room. People are buying their jerseys. So their household, they're famous. Everybody knows who they are. And before you know it, fast forward, their career's over. And we're living better than they are, which is a nuclear bomb. I'm mind blown because of stuff like that.
It's really asinine because you wouldn't think that would happen. But, I mean, geez, I mean, if you're put in that situation now, me or you, I'm pretty sure we'd be in a better spot as far as holding on to our money and being smart about things.
Yeah, that, and you know, just people that you surround yourself with, like people that, like, you should get a good feel of who's after your money, if they're your best interest and all that. Like, you got to be smart with the people that are around you, because if you're around a whole bunch of people that are always needy or whatever like that, you're going to be broke before you know it too.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely true.
Yeah, that's just what I was able to pick up with Darren Sharper right there. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. And if you did it, you know, we'll try better next time.
Absolutely. Well, this is another good episode. This is on Darren Sharper, a Minnesota Viking, which he really didn't say too much about the Vikings. I understand the pain when it happens to your team. But yeah, man, this is a good story. And next show will be my shot to talk about a sports star that made some wrong mistakes. And it'll be the next one I talk about is going to be up Darren Sharper's alley. So it's not going to get any better. So hope you enjoyed the audio and the presentation from Carlos.
Yeah. One last thing that I wanted to say, I know that we're not as consistent as we should, but you know, you got a picture, you got to realize that we're our schedules don't always meet up. And, you know, we're trying to make this thing work, but, you know, our schedules, whenever we can, we try and make these episodes go so we can give you guys some good entertainment. Another way to let us know that you guys are interested and like what you hear is by giving us a like, rating us, and letting us know that we're doing a good job. And then just doing a comment. Give us a simple comment. Just be like, I like the episode. Anything helps, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. 5-star, whatever you got to do, it's all good.
And we appreciate it. And if anybody's interested, my my Cash App is $KOLZONE, the number 419. I had to throw that out there.
All right, bro. Well, with that being said, this has been another episode of Out of Bounds with your host, Todd Fox, and the narrator,
Carlos.
At Cash App, what?
$KOLZONE 419, the number 419.
That's how we do. All right.
Any donations will go to the Matt Miles charity.
There you go. All right, guys, have a good one.